Yesterday's snowfall was one of the biggest in New York City's history. The storm damaged some buildings near the United Nations, and police were forced to close a few city streets because of falling debris. And the UN has delayed by several hours today's Security Council meeting on Iraq. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says he expects the cost of snow removal in the city to be about $20 million, roughly $1 million for each inch of snow. Plows built piles of snow two stories high along some streets, and tourists took pictures of each other standing on the gigantic mounds of snow. From member station WNYC, Fred Mogul reports on how New Yorkers fared.
During the last big storm in 1996, Jason Ng cross-country skied to work, only to get sent home. Yesterday, the 41-year-old web developer didn't make that mistake again. He decided to get out and test his new, bright yellow snowshoes in Brooklyn's Prospect Park.
I just want to see, you know, how they do on top of this thicker stuff. I'm doing pretty well. I'm sinking in about 3 inches.
The city's 55-year-old snowfall record, 26 inches, remained intact, but not by much. In Central Park, accumulation was expected to fall just shy of 2 feet. Mayor Bloomberg said that the storm would just about use up the city's snowplowing budget. But he was grateful, at least, for it coming on President's Day.
I'd love to take credit for arranging it to be today, but I have absolutely nothing to do with that. But yes, it is a good day. It's because the streets are not filled with a lot of automobiles. And that makes all the difference in the world for the plows to get down the street.
The storm shut down LaGuardia Airport and slowed air traffic at JFK and Newark airports. Local and regional bus and train service was either curtailed or canceled. Officials were optimistic that most mass transit would be restored in time for the Tuesday commute, and Mayor Bloomberg asked people not to drive.
Nobody should bring cars into the city, and if everybody could just exhibit some patience and a little bit of humor, dress warmly, wear boots, but I suggest you join me on the subways.
Greyhound and other intercity bus lines halted all service, marooning countless travelers at the Port Authority terminal. Ruth Gurney and Laura Konopinski are sitting against a wall, sharing a blanket, settling in for their second straight night. The two teenage protesters are trying to get home to Bowling Green, Ohio, after coming to New York for Saturday's anti-war rally. Gurney says her parents aren't too worried.
They were scared last night because some officers came down and brought us back to the station. And so we got our parents called at like 2 o'clock in the morning saying that we're in the NYPD station. And that scared them a little bit, but we're fine. And there's enough people around here, so they're okay with us as long as we go home.
In the nearby theater district, Monday is a traditional night off. Many shows, however, added holiday performances and managed to keep them, though the Phantom of the Opera was snowed out. The weather also vexed yesterday's final rehearsal for The Life of Albertine, a new musical which debuts tonight.
Frankly, I didn't know our musicians lived in New Jersey.
Ricky Ian Gordon is the show's composer and lyricist.
You know, you just think, oh, musicians, they get through anything. But today, that is not the case.
You didn't call them up and say, I don't care if you have to walk, you're going to get here?
Certainly not. You want to be nice to your musicians. You want them to play it beautifully. And this score is rather difficult, so we're being as nice as we can.
Fortunately for Gordon and the cast of The Life of Albertine, at least some of the musicians do live in the city and could make it through the snow. So the dress rehearsal proceeded with a pianist instead of a band. For NPR News, I'm Fred Mogul in New York.